Good. Yeah, there we go. Good. Yeah. You want to have some fun? Or you just want to do church? Here's a, if you don't know anybody, just sit right where you are. If you know somebody, especially if you know someone going through a challenge, I've seen Jan. Jan's sister-in-law is really going through a challenge. She'll be one we'll go for. And here's what I want you to do. Jump up in and we're going to do church aerobics. Get up for just for a moment. And the workout queen, she goes, you're in my realm right now. Yeah. How many 5Ks have you done now? Come on, that's this year. How many altogether? 10 altogether. How much weight have you lost? So you're over 100, right? Come on. Couldn't even walk across the room without breathing hard. Now multiple 5Ks. One of these days she's going to win one of them. Good deal. All right. Here's what I want you to do. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. You know somebody. So you'll be a good person to go bless somebody, okay? Because if you've had a breakthrough, if you've had an encounter with God, you are now an encounter with God. If God has blessed you, you carry that. And now you can bless someone else out of what God has blessed. Anybody want a weight loss blessing? She's your girl right there. No. Now, here's what I want us to do. At least three people, and we're going to mix and match just for a moment, and you just go up to them and just bless them or pray for them. I just ask the Lord that he will bring breakthrough on your behalf. Get somebody in your mind. Okay, just go bless somebody. Just go, I pray the Lord get breakthrough on your behalf. If it's your neighbor, that's good. If it's somebody you're thinking about going through some stuff, that's good. May the Lord bring breakthrough on your behalf. May the Lord himself show up as the God of breakthrough. May it be released financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. May God position himself in the midst of your challenge. May he run his hand through your circumstance as a man runs his hand through water. We look around the room, we see many, many times that the God has come through in circumstances that were impossible in the natural. And if he's done it in the past, he can do it in the future. The Lord bring breakthrough on your behalf. The Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine on you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace. I'll take it. Yeah. Just pray for me that I get a lot of money somehow. That would be a good one. I'll take that one. Good. Yeah, I'll take IOU. My dad really, he sucked me in one time. And I was right with it. And then when the punchline came, he said he went to a funeral, and the funeral he went to was another culture. And he goes, I didn't know people did this. He said, but people were throwing money in the casket. And he goes, it was weird, but they would go by, they would greet the family, throw $100, throw $20, throw $50. And Dad said, I sat around, waited till the end, and I was the last one in line. He said, I just started gathering up all the money. And the widow said, what are you doing? She said, oh, I'm just going to write him a check. So that's Larry's IOU for me. My dad, he was good at it, and he had me right up until that. Dad, what were you doing taking him? I don't get it. All right. Last week, we can only do what we see God doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And we want to sense what God's doing and join him in what he's doing, not try to do something and ask God to bless it. Can you see the difference in that? One, I sense God's doing something, I begin to follow God. The other one, I do it and I say, God, follow me. And I've had the Lord bless me, and that way is good. I'm not fighting against that. But what I'm saying is, if we can be sensitive to what the Lord's doing and ride the wave instead of trying to create a wave. It's a lot easier to ride a wave than it is create it. And so I just have some good testimonies. Last week, I just felt like the Lord said, present me as Jehovah Parazim, God of the breakthrough. We talked about it a little bit. I actually took a little bit farther. I was preaching to me on Sunday morning, and I just felt the Lord saying it. And actually, I went into a couple days of fasting, just particular people that I knew that need a breakthrough. You guys were praying, and it was just strange. All of my sons have had challenges that were kind of long-term, and every one of those changed in one day. I have one son that got downsized in his job in January, and his unemployment ran out last week. He had been to about five final interviews. Nobody had hired him yet, and on Monday somebody called him, and on Tuesday they hired him. And he went from downgrade to upgrade, making more money, job closer to the house. Everything about it was good. I go, that's amazing. And you just believe what you want to. But here's what I'm going to believe, that I felt like the Lord saying is a time for breakthrough. And I tried to follow him best I can. And I saw a breakthrough. And so you believe what you want to. If you don't believe that's God, you're just wrong. But you it's okay if you're wrong. When you get to heaven, you'll find out that God was right all the time. Had another son that had an adjustment in employment that made him almost twice as much money. So I'm glad for that. I'm waiting for my kids who have made money. I'm letting them know it's because I prayed. And nothing to do with their excellence in work or anything like that. I just thought Dad prayed for you. And so now I want prayer tax. So you can just, one of my kids told me one time, Dad, we'll put you in the best nursing home we can afford. Your job is go to college, and then when I get old, you take care of me. And they were checking out Miller's out here. He said it'd be close to home. Then another son, Jude, we went to on a mission trip to Brazil last year. Came home, he had some health challenges. He has been dealing with those health challenges. In 2 weeks, it'll be a year since we went on that trip. Last week he totally was himself again and back doing the things he wanted to do. So I'm going, to me, that stuff's worth better than a raise, and worth more. Though you could give me a raise if you want to, I'm not going to be that is better than something in the natural could happen to you. Is God supernaturally breaks through, and each one of those things, just for my family, each one of those things have been long-term challenges. And I looked at Molly and I go, this is not circumstance, because all three of those problems were alleviated in one day. I go, thank you, Jesus. I want that for you. I want that for me. On that day, a guy called me, and my phone rings. I don't know the number. I know the area code, and I tried it. Some mix up, it didn't. And so he texted me, and I tell you that story because it is has to do with. Here's what the Lord will do: the Lord will bring present breakthrough, or the Lord can bring resident blessing from past breakthrough. Does that make sense? He did something amazing back here. And then, even if that's relational changing, or if it is economic, there are lots of different ways, that that blessing can come. But God did something back here. And then in his perfect timing, because he's like awesome on timing, in his perfect timing, something will come at a different time that is just a residual of what happened in the past. Anybody ever had God bless you twice that day? His will, his way, his timing, just like the clock. When they're in sync, boom, now the miracle of the Lord happens. And you know what can that can happen, and then there is like an earthquake, and then shockwaves happen days, weeks, months later. You ever had God double bless you? I'll bless you here, and then later. So anyway, I did a meeting, and I kind of was stepping out on faith, and there's a guy in the back. The guy in the back was about this tall and about this wide. Tattoos all over him. He looked like he probably just come out of prison. I don't know, maybe he didn't. When you've been around stuff, you know stuff. I had friends that are not always Sunday school teachers. But anyway, guys in the back, and the Lord just kept impressing me, and I'm going, no, Lord, and I'm going, later, Lord. And you ever had the Lord just slap you upside the head on the inside? Anybody ever had that happen? I'm up preaching, and I just feel the Lord say, do this now. And it's stupid, because if you mess up, you look really bad. And so the guys in the back, I'm up here, and I go, sir, I don't know, I'm just praying, preaching, and here's what I feel like. And he's like, I guess he would have been on the right side of me. There's 150 people there. That you have a business right now, and the business he had was a painting business. And but your real heart is for youth. And I don't know why, I'm just sensing this, but it's about basketball. Now, when you're the size of a basketball, you don't necessarily look like that you have a future in basketball. I'm just telling you. Anyway, I won't tell you the whole story. That has ended up in, this guy is the coach for traveling basketball teams that have traveled the nation and won major championships. And that meeting was 15 years ago. And on the very day that these other breakthroughs start coming through, he texts me. And he goes, I was at a church giving my testimony, because he works with youth and he gathers some money and that kind of thing. It's like, I'm in a church giving my testimony today. It just made me think about you, not talk to you in a decade. Just wanted to know. And if you're old, you don't change phone numbers. He goes, I just wanted to know, is this phone number the right number? And to tell you that the thing you prayed for me about 10 years is the life, 10 years ago, is the life that I am living right now. And coincidentally, that happens on exactly the same day. So here's what I'm going to, you can't unconvince me. God is the God of the breakthrough. And there is timing in God that when his miraculous power hits his timing, there is absolutely nothing that is impossible in the realm of God breaking through in the midst of a very difficult situation. Don't you think that's good? I just think it's good news. And what I want to show you today, what I want to look at, is sometimes that impetus for the breakthrough is a story of somebody else's breakthrough. Because I'll look around, and if God only blessed the big and the smart and the best, then when I look at them, I'm going to go, I'm not big enough, smart enough, and best enough. You ever felt like that? But when God blesses somebody like me, then anybody around can go, well, I can do that good, right? And then I go, if the Lord can do it for them, guess what? The Lord can do it for me. And what will happen, I'll show you how God uses that power of the story, is the faith of the person that's telling the story causes hope to impart into the person that's hearing the story. Because they go, I couldn't find any hope at all. You told me that story. All of a sudden, hope is arising in my heart. Now, what the Bible says in Romans, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So now, somebody, they are faith-generated and telling me their breakthrough story. Does that make sense? Now, it imparts hope in me. Now, because of the hope in me, I start believing God. I start believing God, there's nothing impossible to him that believes. I start believing God, all of a sudden there's a breakthrough. And now I'm worshiping God for my breakthrough. I thought it was yours was good. I'm worshiping God for yours. But that faith imparted hope. And now I'm believing. And as I'm believing, now I'm worshiping God. And that continues to spread. It is the story of the gospel. It moves from person to person to person. Even if God uses Facebook, he's got to push a lot of devils out of the way to use Facebook, but he uses Facebook. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't matter the method that it gets from person to person. It's still person to person. It is not the method. It is not the medium that it gets person to person. It's the method. And the deal is, I had a breakthrough. When I share my faith, it's not I'm sharing a story. It is the faith that I believe God is actually moving when I tell the story of how God moved. That faith will impart hope. Now the person will believe. By the grace of God, they will believe. When they believe, now you will see God move on their behalf. I would just show you a pattern of that in Acts 26. Let me set up Acts 26, show you the pattern, and then we're going to pray. Is that good? Somebody say amen, or let me know you're awake. Just move a hand or a head or something. I just like to know you're awake. Okay? Acts 26. Let me tell you what the book of Acts, some scholars say. I personally agree with this opinion. It makes sense to me according to what the scripture says and the historical context. So here's what some people think. That if you look in Acts 1:1, it says that is written to a guy by the name of Theophilus. Many scholars think that Theophilus was Paul's lawyer. And Luke writes two volumes. One is the book of Luke, where he compiles, he's a historian, he compiles information. Luke was not a follower of Jesus when Jesus was walking on the earth. Luke most likely got saved on the day of Pentecost shortly thereafter. He gets converted, and now he gathers all this information about Jesus, puts together in a gospel called Luke. Now, Paul gets arrested, and meanwhile back at the farm, Paul gets arrested for preaching the gospel. Jews get mad at him, send him to the Romans. He is in jail. Paul wrote two-thirds of the books of the New Testament, and two-thirds of those books he wrote while he was in jail. He's in jail for several years waiting trial. Some scholars say, or think, I agree with this, that in that time frame, Luke compiles the book of Acts to give to his lawyer, so his lawyer is dealing with the Roman government. That may be why the book of Acts ends with Paul in jail. It just was like, it just abruptly ends. You got the book of Acts, the gospel's going, going, going. You have Paul get converted. You have him telling his stories. You're watching all the things that are happening. And then it goes, and he was in jail by. And then it just ends. The reason that he's in jail and it just ends is it is compiled for his lawyer, so his lawyer can use this as defense when dealing with the Roman government. Does that make some manner of sense? I don't want to go any deeper than that. I just want us to see that maybe an overlay for the. But here's the point I want you to make. It is nothing more than a group of stories. All the book of Acts is a group of stories. You'll have one person is kind of the guy that God's using, then another guy is the guy God's using. He starts out with Peter, then he goes to Paul, and he starts out Jerusalem, then it goes to Antioch. It's different people that you will see being used by God that have stories of breakthrough where God is doing what no human can do. Just read the book of Acts, and that's what you'll find. God will just break in on a human's behalf. Whole regions will come to Christ, or one guy will come to Christ. There's a guy, Cornelius, he's up here praying. He has no idea who God is. God sends Pete up there. Pete preaches the gospel. Cornelius gets saved. Whole region gets influenced by the gospel. Okay? There's 10 or 12 of those kinds of things. But here's what I want you to see today. It is nothing more than one person sharing their breakthrough story. When they share their breakthrough story, they share their breakthrough story, exercising faith. That imparts what? Hope. Faith imparts hope in the hearer. Then the hope goes, maybe, then the hearer goes, maybe God can help me too. And they believe God. Then God breaks through on their behalf. Then they tell their story to somebody else. Does that make some manner of sense? Okay. Now, let me back the train up. I'm back to bus up. Today we have a big trash truck. Dink, 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 dink. I mean, it's a beeper backing up. Okay. There are three types of story that we've been talking about that I need to share, because when I share them with faith, they will impart hope in a hearer, and that seed of hope can become the conversion, the transformation, the breakthrough for the person that hears it. Three kinds of stories. Do you remember what they are? Number one is my conversion story, my salvation story. What's number two? Just remember, saved, good, bad. I'm saved, now I'm good, I was bad. Okay, you can remember that. Whenever I'm telling my salvation stories, what is the three parts? Before I met Christ, how I met Christ, after I met Christ. If I'm telling my healing story, what's it like? Before I met Christ, how I met Christ, after I met Christ. Does that make... y'all are asleep today. I can tell you're thinking... and trying to catch up with, you can't catch up with ADD. You can never understand a crazy person. So when you sit there and you go, I don't understand, you're the one that's right, okay? Molly and I, about three or four times, we had talked a little bit, and then we sat down and had a real conversation that was a couple hours long, and I'm talking, and all of a sudden I go, oh, I'm sorry, and I'm watching her eyes glaze over, and she's getting, and I go, I'm sorry, I went too fast. Did I go? And she goes, no, I used to teach sixth graders. I understand where you're coming from. That's not a joke. She goes, no, I understand ADHD, guys. I can follow you. It'll be all right. So I go, that's the one right there. This has never happened before. I finally found somebody that understands. Okay. What was we talking about? No. you have three stories. Your salvation story, huh? Your celebration story. She takes notes, y'all. Okay, celebration story. And what? Your challenge or your suffering story? Now, I could take apart Acts chapter 9. That's the initiation of Paul's story. Acts 22 is when he tells it before one group, before Jews. And Acts 26 is when he tells it before Gentiles. I could show you, here's the reason I'm telling it like I'm telling it. I could show you in each one of those, Paul goes, here was a good thing, here was a bad thing, here's where I was converted, here's a good thing, here's a bad thing. Then he will go, here's where I was transformed, and then he will go, here's how I partnered with God. So those five, if I know those five stories, here's my conversion, here's where a time God's blessed me. Here's the time that God's helped me through something difficult. Here's a time that I was transformed. And here's a time that God used me to help somebody else. You are the most dangerous witness for the gospel that there'll ever be. And you go, I know there is a before I met Christ, a how I met Christ, and after Christ. Before Christ intervened, I had no money. Then Christ intervened. Oh, now I had money. Here's what it's been like after that. I could sit here and never stop telling you the times the Lord has blessed me financially. I could tell you of a time of heading to the airport before all the organization that's going on now. I was heading to the airport because I had a ticket reserved. I had no money in my pocket. By the time I got to the airport counter, I had the money to pay for the ticket that I already had reserved. There was a before. Then I could tell you the story of what happened that caused the encounter that God gave me the money. Then I could tell you I was off on the flight, and I could tell you the story that happened on the other end of that. I could tell you the story of about to have bills, my lights canceled, no money. I was praying, as I was praying, the amount of money that I needed to pay the bill fell through the door in my house. I didn't have it. Now God encountered me. Now I have it. Now here's what it's looked like on the other side of the blessing of the Lord. I could tell you this. I had hell on earth, and the enemy tried to kill me, destroy me, break me, and God never delivered me. I went through suffering and challenge and hurt and pain. While I was suffering, challenged, hurting, and in pain, God was beside me, and he never left me in the midst of the challenge. Now, here's how I'm totally different on the other side. And I'll tell you this, I have more root and in-depth strength by the thing God didn't deliver me from than I do joy and happy from the thing he delivered me from. Right? But on the other end of it, now there is a total difference that happens because I walk through my suffering story. And now I'll tell you this, my suffering story has become hope and help for those that are going through the same kind of thing. They're going through the same kind of thing. And I can say this. I don't know if it'll change. I'm going to pray it'll change. I've seen it change. But if it does not change, there is a God who will not change that will walk through you with you as you go through this. And on the other side of it, he's going to make it better than what could have ever happened against you now becomes strength for you. Amen? I mean, it's good. And so you can take your life and go, here's where I was converted. Here's where God blessed me. Here's where I went through a challenge. God was with me. Here's where I was transformed. How many people have ever been through a bad thing in life? Tell me, were you different on the other side of the bad thing than you were before? I've been through three bad things I did not think I would live through in life. I literally did not think I would live through them. Now, on the other side of them, I go, I didn't think I could live through them, but I would not want to be the me that I was before I went through it. Because who I am now is different. You want to go through it again? Ain't jumping on that bus. Ain't signing up for that one. No, I never want to go through anything like that again. But I would not want to not be the me that I'm on this side of it. Right? That's going to be the Apostle Paul's story. And what he's going to say is, because I lived, please hear me, because I lived through that, I carry something in me that I didn't have before I went through it, and the people that I'm speaking to do not have what I have. Because there was a grace of God that got me through this that's different, and now that grace can be imparted to you when I just tell you my story. I'm not having to jump on you, grab the Bible, tell you you're a wretched sinner, hit you with all the bad stuff you do. What I can do is just say, here is just a 30-second story, a 15-second story. Yeah, I've been through something like that. God helped me through that. I don't know how I'd have made it without him. And then just let that hit them for a minute. Well, could you tell me more? You ask me. Now it's on, right? And now the faith that I'm giving the story with imparts hope in them. Maybe God can help me too. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Could you just say, here's my favorite amen. Could you just say, wow? All right. Now say it backwards. Okay, you got it. Good. All right. Now, all that groundwork is laid. I'm going to take it to specific and show you something. It's in Acts chapter 26. It's Paul before Roman officials. And at the end of Paul's testimony, he goes, look, for right now, I'm not going to use a lawyer. I'm just going to represent myself. And he knows Roman government. He knows that this guy knows Jewish people. He has all this, and he uses it to preach Christ. At the end of the time, the Roman guy that has Paul's future in his hands, the guy thinks, the judge thinks, Paul's future's in his hands. And Paul tells him, God already told me what my future was a decade ago, before I ever met you, you do not control me. There's somebody in the heavens that is looking over my life. The judge himself goes, you almost persuade me to become a Christian just because you're giving your testimony. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit was fingering around in that judge's heart why Paul is just giving testimony. How many people think that that may be a powerful way to just share the gospel in everyday life? Is here's what it was like before Christ. Here's how I met Christ. Here's what it's been like after. And the most powerful, richest man in the region, read it, it's Acts 26, says to Paul, I wish I was like you on the inside. Oh my goodness. Because he is, and I'll show you, he is taking the faith in his heart and energizing the words that are being spoken that are releasing hope in those who hear what he has to say. Okay, give you 3 points. 3 points in a poem. I don't have a poem. Give you 3 points. In sharing it, number one is make Jesus the superstar. If I make me the superstar, somebody will sit and go, I don't know if I'm as good as the person telling the story. Maybe God won't bless me. If I make Jesus the superstar, when they hear the story, they will go, if Jesus can bless him, Jesus can bless me. Do you see the difference? A story can be told with different people being the star. If I tell my testimony with me as the star, it doesn't have the same effect. If I tell my testimony with Jesus as the star, now all of a sudden every hearer can go, if he can do that for them, he could do it for me. So number one is tell the story with Jesus as the star. Number two, tell the story energizing or exercising or expressing faith. Tell the story expressing faith. I'll just give you one word. That was ADHD breaking out right there. Tell the story expressing faith. I believe if the Lord has blessed me, the Lord can bless you. And then number three, tell the story imparting hope. I expect hope to come to your heart when I share this story. So make Jesus the center, express it with faith, impart hope. I'm going to start in 26, if you got your Bible, 13. I'm going to end in 18, and 18 has some passages that I want you to see the context. Then I want you to see these five benefits. And then we're going to pray. Okay? So here's Paul telling his story to Agrippa. And he goes, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven. We've talked about it for a month, so you remember the story. I saw a light from heaven. What time was it? Midday. Anybody been in the desert before? Anybody been in the Middle East? Anybody here? Maybe not. Been in the desert before? What's the sun like at midday in the desert? And Paul goes, there was a light brighter than the midday sun that hit me. It's going to give context, and the guy is going to be like, really? Okay. I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me, and when we all had fallen to the ground. Take 9, 22, 26 of Acts, lay them aside, read them right beside each other, and you'll get the whole picture. Because sometimes Paul goes, I was knocked to the ground. But when he's telling it this time, he goes, I was knocked to the ground, sure. But everybody with me was knocked to the ground. Okay? Big encounter. He's going to focus on, this is how I met Christ. Before that, he goes, this is what it was like before. He only gives 2 verses. Then in this one, he gives several verses, and he goes, here's how my Christ encounter was. When he had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language. What language did God speak to Paul in? Hebrew. If God spoke to you in Hebrew, how good would that be to you? You go, I don't understand Hebrew. But so God might speak to you. God knows all of them. Okay. He might speak to you in English. He goes, he hit me. Did he spoke to me in Hebrew? Saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goat. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. Rise and stand on your feet. For now, and you do not get this in the other two. In this one, Paul goes, anybody have a testimony? When you tell somebody, one person, your testimony, you tell a portion of it because it's geared toward them. Then you tell somebody else, it's the same story, but you emphasize a different point because it's geared toward them. We getting some wisdom from Paul? One time he goes, well, here's what I'm going to emphasize. Then another time he goes, here's what I'm going to emphasize. And I've had people say, well, there's contradiction. I go, no, there's not. There's expansion. One time he'll go, I was in a car. Then another time he'll go, I was in a Chevrolet. He wasn't lying when he said he was in a car. He's just expounding another time. Does that make sense? Because we know he would not drive a Ford. No, I'm kidding. Just make sure you're still alive. All right. And he goes, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. But rise, stand at your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to see it clearly. Jesus is going to tell Paul the reason I appeared to you was not for you. Another time, he will talk about, I appeared to you for you. Jesus came to you so you'd be saved because he tried heaven without you, didn't like it. Came to earth, died on the cross, propelled by love so he could take you to be with him for eternity. Amazing story. How many people believe that story? But now he's going to say, but I didn't save you for you. He's going to go, Paul, you think the reason that you are saved is for you so you can go to heaven. And what Jesus is about to say to him is, you are not saved so you can go to heaven. You are saved so other people can go to heaven. Watch what he says. But rise, stand to your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. Both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. So he goes, I've made you a witness for what you've already seen, but let me tell you something, Paul. And this is what Jesus is saying to Paul on the day that he met him in the desert. You've seen some things from me in the past, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Because you're not going to just be a witness for what I've done for your life in the past. You are here to be a witness for what I'm going to do for you in the future. So somebody will get saved and go, oh, that's amazing. God has blessed me. And God will look at you and go, you have no idea what I'm going to do on the other side of this redemption for you. Make you a minister of the things which I will yet reveal, 17, deliver the people as well as the Gentiles to whom I now send you. He goes, so I've sent you to the Jews, now I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Five things that he's going to tell Paul. Now, I'm not going to go in depth in these. I'll be done in 20, 30, 40 minutes, something like that. No, just a few minutes. I want to give us hope. I want to give you hope. Here's what he tells Paul. A witness is that somebody gives a testimony. I will use your testimony to do five things for other people. Look what it is. I will use your testimony to open their eyes, that they might be turned from darkness to light, that they might experience the power of God to deliver them from the power of the devil, that they might receive forgiveness of their sins, and that they might walk in the destiny or have the inheritance, the destiny that God has for them. He goes, you're going to be my witness. You're going to tell your story. When you tell your story, watch this, and this just should blow you away. Forgiveness of sin for those who are sanctified by what? Read those last four words. He goes, by faith in me. Paul goes, there's a faith inside me. When I tell my story, that story propelled by that faith go into their ears, impart hope in their life. When it imparts hope, it will cause them to turn from darkness to light, power of the enemy, power of God. They will be forgiven of their sins. They will walk in the destiny that God has for them just simply because I told my story with faith. I ran to the finish line like really fast at the end just so I could get there, okay? And now I'm there. So I'm done preaching now. Now, we're going to let our worship team come, but here's what I want to do. Molly will come down. If you want to come for further prayer, you want to come for prayer for somebody else, it'll be fine. But I want to recap this thing right here. God's the God of the breakthrough. He breaks through on the behalf of humans who cannot break through themselves. One of the ways he does that is the story of breakthrough that one person tells another, making Jesus the story, motivated by faith, that imparts hope in the hearer. Good news? I'm going to invite you to stand. Why don't you do something for me just in your own heart, your own personal time with Jesus. Worship team's coming. We got 30 seconds, 45 seconds, minute. There's a thank you, Jesus, in your heart for past breakthrough the Lord's given you. You go, Lord, it was like this. Then you came, and then it was like this. I give you thanks for the breakthroughs that you have brought in my own life. And you've prayed for somebody and it's changed in the course of your history in God. You prayed for them. God intervened. Their life changed because you intervened. Lord, we thank you for those partnerships. We ask your blessing, your grace over them. We stop to give you thanks for the hope and the help and the strength that you've brought in times past, looking forward to the days ahead. That which you have done, you will do. If you've done it for one, you can do it for another. Now we just stand before you on our own behalf, on the behalf of others, worshiping you as the God who breaks through, the God who brings supernatural change, the God who does what no one else can do. We give you honor for having done that in the past. We believe and pray that by the power of that faith in us, that it would impart a hope that enables others to believe for the impossible. We thank you for our story. We thank you for your communing with us, for your partnering with us, for your walking with us through this life. Now may the power of that story become the power that enables others to live in your supernatural goodness. I pray for those in this room right now that the goodness of God would release power, change, grace on their behalf. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.